This is the VNet Radio Podcast with guest host Alan Carpenter and our very own Matt Wirtel.
I mentioned to you that I heard a commercial on Jet for one of the internet security companies that said, you know, you don't want your information sold on the dark web. And there are a lot of people out there who are saying, well, it sure sounds scary, but what the heck is it?
So the dark web is, you know, as you kind of look at the definition of the dark web, it is what it sounds like. So it's a bad place. Mm-hmm. So basically the dark web is kind of an internet that's off the internet that you can't typically get through a typical search engine. And places on the dark web usually have some level of encryption or sophistication, obviously to prevent, you know, your casual browser on Google or any other search engine from getting to it. So, and the dark web is kind of getting more prominence lately. So basically how it works is, let's say a hacker, you know, infiltrates your personal computer at home, Alan, and grabs maybe your tax information, maybe your social security number, your address, and driver's license information. They'll scrape whatever they can. And then they basically will go onto the dark web and say, hey, you know, I've got Alan's information and maybe some other people that he's associated with because, you know, he left it on his personal workstation. And I'll give it to you, or I'll sell it to you for, you know, $50 or $20 or what have you. And basically, you know, they'll exchange that information for a fee. Okay. And then somebody else will take that information and say, okay, now I'm going to use that information and try to infiltrate your bank accounts to try to extort more money from you or try to, you know, do some harm or pain to you. So what we've seen, most people have probably heard of the term ransomware. It's been around for a long time. You know, typically what would happen with ransomware is your computer would get infected. Some screen of death would come up and say, yeah, hey, your computer's got ransomware. You know, you have 2 days to pay the ransom, you know, or we'll delete all of your files. You know, we have all your files. We're going to delete them. You know, a lot of companies, you know, over the last couple of years, and we're still advising companies to, you know, have great security practices. So you have online backups, mm-hmm. you know, you have a backup of your files, you know, locally and something online, you know, you use strong passwords, you use two-factor authentication, but still, you know, nothing is 100% foolproof. So what used to be where ransomware would, bad actors would basically say, hey, you have to pay me a ransom and give me Bitcoin or give me green dot cards is what it started with, or Amazon gift cards or whatever to get your information back. Now they're basically saying, okay, if you don't pay the ransom, we're going to release all of your information on the dark web. That's kind of the new twist of all this. So some places are paying the ransom to avoid getting information on the dark web. But remember, we're dealing with criminals here, nefarious actors. Yes. They're not necessarily the most, you know, they're not the reverends and the nuns down the street.
Right.
So they're not necessarily going to live up to their word. So what happens usually now in some of these ransomware incidents is they're either, even if you pay the ransom, if you don't pay the ransom, they're still releasing your information on the dark web. So think of a, you know, typical small business that might have, you know, a bunch of client files. They, you know, might have passwords, they might have financial mm-hmm. data. They obviously might have employee data related to their employees, you know, medical records, you know, personal information on their servers. If all that information gets released on the dark web, you know, now, one, it's a huge issue from a compliance standpoint.
Right.
Because you have to disclose that to you, not only your employees, but your customers, that, hey, your information is out there. There's some levels of penalties related to that, you know, in terms of, you know, state and federal to say, hey, you have to pay something. Obviously, you'd be liable for suits. So this is where we've really seen an uptick in security, especially during the times of COVID, where most of us are still working from home. Some of us are doing hybrid work. We're working from the mm-hmm. office and working from home. You know, making sure that we're using good housekeeping practices in terms of having strong passwords, not going to nefarious sites, you know, trying to avoid clicking on things. You know, continuing to monitor our behavior and train our employees so that they don't do things that maybe they wouldn't do at the office that maybe they're more apt to do at home,
right,
because they're in a different setting. But there's scans out there, and we offer these at VNet, you know, free dark web scans, so we can basically put in your domain name. So if it's, you know, iHeartRadio.com, we can basically put a domain name in and do a quick search and say, hey, here are the 10 people or so at iHeart that have some information on the dark web. And it might it'll list those folks out, and then it might say, hey, here's the password or maybe the site it's linked to and some additional information. So at least from a high level, you can get a sense as to say, hey, you know, yes, this is an issue, but then you can drill down to it, and it's not, you know, the entire sky is falling. It might be, hey, you know, Susie over here, her password was hacked. Okay, so we need to make sure that she does a better job at taking care of a password. She needs to make sure she has a more sophisticated password, those sorts of things. But it is a scary time because we all are conducting transactions more online. We are doing more online activity more than ever just because of COVID. So it is something to be definitely cognizant of. And another piece of it that I think a lot of people don't think about, and it's something that we advise people on, is the whole insurance component of it. So, you know, cyber insurance is something that is, I don't say it's relatively new, but it's getting newer or it's getting more prevalent in the insurance industry. And we always advise our clients to say, you know, if you have a business interruption insurance, a general business liability insurance, you need to be talking to your insurance agents and representatives to say, you know, what's my liability on the cyber piece of it?
Right.
Because we've seen, you know, if a company were to get hacked, and we have seen it, unfortunately, that a company, you know, gets hacked, they get ransomed, their complete business comes to a screeching halt, especially during a time like COVID, where we're all kind of, you know, fighting for scraps and trying to get as much business as we can right now because the world has completely changed around us. You know, having a cybersecurity event would completely cripple most organizations. So by having cyber insurance, you know, attached to your policy, one, that gives you some extra protection, but then it also gives you that forensics and that support to say if some sort of issue happens, one, I know my out-of-pocket liability is X, and that, you know, the insurance company and their teams, their forensic teams, can help me determine and make sure that, hey, if I've got to tell my clients, I do it in the proper way, I follow all of the you know, state, federal, and local regulations. So, you know, that whole world is changing. You know, it's much like those additional riders that you might have on your home insurance policies to cover, you know, sub pump failure, you know, sewer backups, those sort of things. The cyber liability piece is one that we're strongly recommending all of our clients really take a look at. So if you're a small business owner or any business owner, and you're not sure if you have it, you know, call your local insurance agent, whoever handles your business insurance, and talk about cyber. It's a conversation that you should have, and then it opens up other things. Usually from the insurance company, they're going to ask you a bunch of different questions, much like they would ask if you owned a home or drove a car. You know, what policies do you have in place? What security protocols do you have in place? You know, how do you back up or protect your information? All those things we should be doing that sometimes we forget to do just because we're so busy in all aspects of our life. But they go through the checklist to say, okay, I can only insure you if you follow these protocols or procedures. And that's where we come in, is we can help kind of work through that and say, here's the systems and processes and services that you need to keep your employees safe so that information isn't leaking on the dark web. And then you're finding like, hey, look at all this. All my emails, you know, are out on the dark web.
Yeah.
Not a good place to be.
No, for sure. Well, let's shift a little bit because you sent me a very interesting article about, and it's basically the topic, Matt, is we can't, as people in business, we can't connect with our clientele like we used to. We can't go out and have, you know, have lunch with them every day and hang out here and do this and do that. So how do we maintain those ties to our clientele? And I love the one line. It was actually a heading in the article that said, you know, you've got to move from selling to serving.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that obviously, you know, we're a sales-based organization. We have a sales team. I manage the sales team and manage the marketing for Velocity Network as well. So it's something that we talk about every day. Obviously, we kind of thought that the runway of COVID was going to be somewhat shorter than it is now. Now we're, you know, kind of expanding all of these things. So, really, it comes down to being creative and also being human. So, you know, we're all going through this differently. We all respond differently to this kind of isolation and lack of human interaction contact. Some of us are doing great with the virtual connectivity and the video conferencing and the telephone conferencing, those sorts of things, but others are not. So understanding how your business is going to transition, I think, is key. You see some things here locally. You know, the Greek Fest went to a drive-through model, and I had heard and read online that, you know, people are waiting an hour or two to get their Greek food, which is awesome.
Isn't it funny that no one complained? I didn't hear anybody say, well, this moussaka wasn't worth it.
Right. So, you know, but looking at that and saying, okay, we, you know, look at the Cherry Festival is going to do something similar. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we, you know, allow people to engage in a human behavior and continue to support the organizations that they're looking to support in a more virtual and not even virtual, but in-person way that's mm-hmm. safe. But, you know, going forward, you know, hey, how do I build on that? How do I maybe streamline some of those things? You see how, you know, the folks at Sarah's have basically redone their entire drive-through and, yes. and things like that to really make things very efficient. So you're still having a great, still having that great Sarah's experience, but being able to have it in such a way that's kind of COVID-friendly. So the same sort of thing with business is understanding, you know, you're probably not doing lunches, you're not driving around in your car knocking on doors, and every business is different, but really understanding, you know, everybody is going through some level of anxiety due to COVID, either if it's, hey, my kids are at home driving me crazy, or, you know, I can't see my ailing parent that is in a nursing home, you know, trying to have that human connection with them, and then trying to come up with experiences that are maybe more relevant and being more service-oriented. So doing more listening and less selling, I think, is the key. But then, you know, we've seen examples of, for example, some large, you know, institutions, some major institutions saying, hey, I'm going to do a virtual beer tasting event. So they actually will, you know, they partnered, I think, with Goose Island and said, okay, mm-hmm. we have the master brewmaster from Goose Island that we've booked, and it's a virtual online event, and then they ship the 6-pack of beer to everybody that signed up. So you're working at it from home, you know, but hey, you're also interacting with the brewmaster. I think they paired some cheese with it to try to do a cheese and or beer tasting type of event. So, you know, so think of, you know, the Erie Ale Trail or the wine, the wineries here locally. How could they get creative with some of these things and take some things virtually, still have, you know, a local connection, but, you know, interject some technology to say, hey, yeah, you necessarily can't necessarily come to the brewery maybe as often as we'd like, or have a big corporate function, but how can you still support a local institution and be more creative with it? And then potentially pair, you know, multiple companies together. So being creative. So you might mm-hmm. be working with your competitor down the street, or you might be working with, you know, a different industry segment that you wouldn't have thought about. So mm-hmm. I think it's the goal right now is everybody's trying to get creative and understand that we're all trying to figure this out. We hope to go back to some semblance of normal at some point, but I don't think anybody can put a pin on the calendar and saying, hey, as of this date, everything is going to go away, because it's not. We're kind of going to have this going forward for some period of time until this kind of all shakes out. So, you know, from this side of things, understanding, you know, how can you continue to listen to your clients, but then build events that are functional and that are not only memorable, but keep you kind of top of mind with them. So when they're thinking of something or thinking of a company organization to partner with, they think of you. So, you know, yeah. for us here at VNet, for example, we always love doing the Seawolves games or the Otters games or, you know, Bayhawks or different things to kind of have that social interaction with clients. You know, we really don't have that anymore right now, or sponsoring, you know, the Celebrate Eries or those sorts of things where people are getting together. You know, we don't really have that. So I think my point of today is just really, how can we locally be thinking out of the side of the box, and you as a listener, if you're a business or organization, you know, how can you take some of your events and make them virtual or make them more safe? And I've seen, you know, some of the golf tournaments are coming back and saying, hey, we're not doing this, or we're going to do this a little bit differently, so we're not having as many people congregate, which tends to give people a little more comfort and say, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I'm going to come out, or I feel safe enough that I'm going to participate in that. Whereas before, you know, I'm not so sure because I don't want to be around such a big of a crowd. So it's really just trying to understand, you know, where your customers are at and what they need. And I think that comes back to, you know, sales 101 is listening to your customers and understanding what they need. You know, I think just like the local organizations that we described, hey, they still need to raise funds. They still need to do fundraising. To really put those thinking caps on and getting the whiteboard out and understanding, you know, hey, how can I make this a virtual thing to really, or something that's a drive-through like what we've seen or something right. A little bit different to allow people to still interact in a safe way and still achieve the goals that the organization is trying to achieve.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because even before coronavirus, we were already sort of being trained into loving getting little boxes at home, whether it was HelloFresh or nerds like me, we get our loot crate boxes and, oh, what's in it? There's a Funko Pop in here and a T-shirt. That's a great sort of model for a lot of places in, you know, providing a little bit of the experience of what you do. Certainly worked for the Greek festival, but it can work for all, and the virtual beer tasting. It can work for a lot of things, and I think it's a nice way to sort of, in a way, remind people of who you are.
Yep, and I agree. I think it's just a matter of you got to think a little bit more outside of the box, because companies that typically would be more in-person retail, you know, now are going to have to be more, like you said, more, hey, I need to figure out a way to ship my product, or I need to figure out a way to partner with another product to build a box that I can send out. And we've been examples of this too at VNet is, you know, used to do a lot of business traveling before COVID, going to conferences or, engaging with vendors, those sorts of things, you know, that all stopped. So, you know, they're trying to do the same sort of thing to say, hey, I've got, you know, these are the organizations in my locality, be it Cleveland, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, where have you, but where they're located and saying, hey, I'm partnering with this coffee shop or I'm partnering with this, you know, this sweet shop, putting together a little box and just, you know, shipping it on its way and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you guys and hey, give us a call if you need something. You know, those sorts of things are simple in their, you know, their base form, but, you know, it could be a partnership, like I said, between the printing company or the shipping company and the local sweet shop or the chocolate store, you know, what have you, that kind of put that together. If it's an apparel thing, hey, I'm going to send you a T-shirt. You know, now we're extending those dollars that we might have been spending on events with clients to help support, you know, those local businesses that really need it more than ever. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that we're working on at our company to really figure out how we're going to do that going forward. But I think us in tandem across the entire Erie community spectrum, I think it's a way for us to continue to prop up and help support small businesses during their critical time of need, but then also expose the outside world, you know, to everything that Erie has to offer.
Sure. And it's one of those things that we've talked about it before, Matt, but being in radio for 30 plus years, I mean, I know the power of a keychain. People might think that, you know, small items, you know, if you can't be having lunch with everybody and you can't be people, you know, small items and just to show I'm thinking about this client, I'm just keeping those bonds between us strong. They go way farther than I think people assume.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've talked with the folks at the Seawolves in the past. Greg and his team there, which are great, and unfortunately their season was postponed this year, but, you know, they would talk about, you know, they did a promo 10 or 15 years ago with this company or that company with a hat or a beach towel or a backpack, and they were just out at some store and they see that hat again. It's like, you know, those things last, and people generally, if you've said, hey, I'm thinking about you and I'm sending you something that of value with my logo on it, or I have some sentimental value to it, you know, they're going to keep that, and then, you know, it's the multiplier effect that they're going to tell that story not only to their their immediate family, but then also their extended business community and say, hey, look at this cool thing that I got from this organization or that kind of helped me get through this pandemic.
We were talking, I don't know if it was last time, Matt, or maybe the time before, but like the keychain, the koozie of our time is the smart key. I don't see people jumping on that in Erie quickly enough. We need to get those out there. That's a great marketing item.
Yeah, that's not having to touch something is the new thing, or the mask, the branded mask.
Branded mask, yes.
You know, those are the types of things that, you know, I think if you talk to a lot of the promotional marketing folks, they wouldn't think they'd be selling so many hand sanitizers, masks, and the smart keys. But yet again, it's one of those things that their businesses is pivoting from, you know, the koozies and the golf coolers and other things. So it's really, you know, looking at what you need, what are your struggles during the day as a person or individual living through the coronavirus, and then saying, okay, what's the product, service, or tool that could help not only me personally, but then also help my clients. And like you said, it could be that smart key. It could be that extra mask that they leave in their car when they forget theirs inside the house. You know, those are the types of things that, oh yeah, I'm glad I got this, and I got this from, you know, the team at VNet or the team at iHeartRadio. You know, those are the types of things that are going to be memorable, and then kind of post-pandemic are going to continue to strengthen those relationships go forward.
As we're in our last kind of 3-4 minutes together, Matt, I want to talk about just ask about what's going on at VNet. You know, I drive past the building every morning, and I'm like, well, those guys are busy in there. You are busy in there. What are you folks up to?
Yeah, so we're continuing, you know, continuing to increase our client base, you know, on the IT services side, managed services side. You know, this has increased our business considerably during coronavirus, just because, you know, we have more people to touch. We're not just supporting one corporate office now. We're supporting not only the corporate office, but many people's home offices. So, you know, our team is continuing to be busy doing that. We've added more team members to do that. We've expanded our staff to support that. So we've been very fortunate in that realm. We're also expanding our fiber optic network. It's a very exciting time for us. The VNet fiber, the residential fiber network is being expanded. We're hoping to add, you know, 500 to 1,000 additional homes some point throughout the year. We're working on construction right now. 500 is probably more doable. What we're going to be passing by quite a few homes here within the next few months. So we're seeing that trend, too, in terms of people now needing. This is going to be a longer burn. So I think people are now going to need a more reliable internet access at home.
Indeed.
So it's one of those things that fiber and, you know, other technology tools, virtual conferencing, having that type of hybrid model to work from home or work from the office is going to be more prevalent. So those are the things that have really been keeping us busy, is also with connectivity for telephony as well. So people have realized that, hey, I need to be connected to my phone system. That's kind of an anchor at the office. Away from the office, how do I do that? So we've been advising and working with clients on making those transitions to more of a, you know, VoIP-enabled system. As we know, things are constantly changing in terms of, you know, where things need to be going forward. But, you know, we're at the ready. So if somebody needs something, they can get a hold of us. Visit our website at vnet.us. We can do free assessments. We can talk you through, you know, any particular situation you're looking to do video conferencing for or collaboration with, anything like that. You know, security assessments that we talked about earlier, dark web scans, we can help with that. Or they can give us a call, you know, 814-833-9111 and connect with one of our sales representatives.
Yeah, and especially if you have a business that you think you're like a couple steps behind, that call to VNet can put you right where you should be very quickly.
Absolutely, and we're at the ready. We're transitioning as quick as everybody else is. So I didn't think I would sell as many webcams and video conferencing units as I've sold in the last couple months. But it's one of those things that you know, the times have changed, and we're definitely here to support our clients and, you know, any new clients in any way possible.
All right, very good. Thank you, Matt. Good to talk to you as always, sir.
Thanks, Alan. Take care. Have a good rest of your week.
You too. Good talking to you.